3:30 in the morning, steady working hard. Hello and welcome to the Coastal Noise Podcast. To hear more episodes, go to coastalnoise.com, go to the podcast page, and from there you can stream the audio track or download the audio file to your smartphone or computer to take with you. Be sure to check out our new YouTube channel where you can also listen to the episodes. The YouTube icon is on the left of the Coastal Noise website, along with our Facebook and Twitter accounts. Subscribe, like, share, comment, anything you do helps us to keep this show, which we do all for free, alive and well. Today on the show, we sat down to talk with Chase Taylor and Nick Quave again on the grand opening of Crest Live in downtown Biloxi, which is taking place July 4th and will go all weekend long. In fact, if you want to win two VIP tickets to the weekend of July 5th, we are setting up a drawdown so you can win and get in on the action. If you see us post on Facebook or elsewhere with a message saying, like, share, or comment to win two VIP tickets to Crest Live, etc., etc., then just follow the prompt and your name will go into a drawing to win. Keep in mind that the more you interact with one of those posts, the more chances you are entered to win. So keep a lookout for that and act fast because the grand opening is only a matter of days away. We will announce the winner on a future podcast, so stay tuned. Before recording this show, we actually toured the inside of Crest Live and got to see the infrastructure. After walking around and hearing all the new developments, we went across the street to record at the Rejuvenation Station, which is a new health spa that provides customers with B12 injections, oxygen treatments, and fluid IVs, and massages, and much, much more. It was a really very cool place, but instead of me describing it, you should just tune in to the next podcast that we do, in which me and Daniel will record with the owner, who will explain everything about the Rejuvenation Station. And then, while we talk, all of us will continue the podcast while laying down in super nice leather reclining chairs and receive a full treatment of B12 injection, oxygen, and fluid transfusions. This is going to be very interesting. With Chase and Nick, we talk everything about the Crest development, networking, music acts, the grand opening, the Biloxi Baseball Stadium, future plans in the making, the zombie apocalypse, and even a little stand-up, which, by the way, we're now expanding our comedy open mics from the Mississippi Juke Joint to include Thursday nights at the Irish Coast Pub in Gulfport. Daniel and the gang did their first show this week to great success, and the future is only getting brighter when you consider the possibilities with Crest Live. More on that in the show. So, without further ado, Chase Taylor and Nick Quave of Crest Live. This is Coastal Noise Podcast number 35. Enjoy. Chase Taylor, Nick Quave, good to see you fellas.
Thank you. What's up,
How's
man?
It been going?
Good. Oh, it's crazy.
Crazy?
Roof falling in, booking bands.
Did you really have the roof fall in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start off with this story. What happened there?
Yeah, we can address that. Yeah, six weeks before we grand open. It's about 5 days of complete rain. On the fifth day, we go in there just to check it out, and because we're literally hanging speakers on Friday, and yeah. So Saturday we go in there to check it out, and Niagara Falls right in the middle of the building, just pouring.
Wow.
So, stop, revamp, 85 grand later, back on track.
As dry as a whistle today in the rain, though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the nature of the beast, you know. Construction's always crazy, so
yeah. And you'll have quite the sound system too. As we just went in and toured the place and got to see all three levels of it, and it's pretty sweet setup y'all have going on. So the rain kind of you had to redo that.
We had to redo the roof, but we shrink wrapped every one of the speakers that are in there now.
Yeah. As you can see,
like Christmas in there. But yeah, it's all it's coming together. Brand new QSC rig in there, Pro Audio. What you saw was just a fraction of the system that's coming to fruition, and so we're excited about it. The sound is, you know, going to be second to none. I'm actually more excited about the light rig that we have. 100 feet of LED wall, ambient light, everything's DMX controlled, movers, shakers. do we have shakers? I don't know if there's such thing as shakers, we definitely have strobes. we've got all kinds of stuff, and the light systems can be sick.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we did a podcast a few months ago with you guys in which we talked about the origins of Crest Live. For the folks who haven't heard it or haven't seen it in the news or anything like that, can you briefly explain what it is and why this venue is different from any other place on the coast?
Well, I mean, first off, it's a historical building located in downtown Biloxi. You know, one of our goals with this whole business is to kind of revitalize the downtown area. And so all the stuff within the building, we have all the exposed brick walls. It's a 100-year-old building. We reused a lot of the wood that was in there for bar tops. So, you know, we want everybody that comes down to the coast, come to the casinos, come to the new ball field. But you got to check out the Crest, because when you go to the Crest, you're going to see a great show. It's going to have great light, great music, great sound, but it's going to have a feel of the coast. So you're going to get that whole feel of what Gulf Coast, Mississippi is all about.
The coast culture, and that's the biggest thing, is, man, we want to recreate some culture. And it's not new culture. It's culture that's always been there, but we just don't preserve the past as well as, if, for example, New Orleans does.
Mm-hmm.
They're very proud of who they are, and it's not that we have a lack of pride, but I think we have a lack of facilities that inspire and influence. And so we want to be one of those facilities that preserves the past and brings it to the modern day. And, you know, like you said, you got all these exposed bricks, you got local regional art, you got incredible music, and it has the look and feel of the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And that's been important to us from day one, because we're coast guys. We love the coast. We've been all around the world and come back. And the coast is very unique and has a unique vibe. It's just unfortunate that nothing really is a platform for that vibe. And so we really want to be that go-to, that cultural hub, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were talking about preserving the history and how New Orleans is, you know, big on that. Was this particular area where the building is a part of your decision to be located here? Because this one particular area, it has a very French feel to it, you know?
Yeah, well, Vieux Marché means old mall. And, you know, this area that we're sitting in right now, actually in the Rejuvenation Station, which is owned by Mark. It's a brand new business a block down the road from us. Check it out if you ever hung over in need of some hydration. These cats right here, where it's at, literally a block away from the Crest. But this place that we're in right now it had a sense of being an old mall. You had a roof over the top of this entire downtown area, and it was just not welcoming. It was that whole, you know, downtown area that was trying to transition into the modern day mall, and they wanted it to look like an old style mall. That doesn't even make any sense. So they ripped this pavilion style thing off and then kind of brought it back to life. And it does. It looks kind of like the French Quarter. There's still a bunch of infrastructure change that's going to happen down here. Roads are getting torn out and redone. Infrastructure, you know, electricity stuff is coming down. And so what we wanted to do was kind of take the vibe that is the Mississippi Gulf Coast and, you know, kind of bring some more artistic creativity. There's still a ton of talented folks down here. We wanted to bring that to life and kind of expose that for what it is. And I think that we, you know, we're able to accomplish that with Art Can Change Everything, and kind of kick that off. That was a nice little spark. And, you know, immediately after that, we did a quick little outdoor festival and then started renovating the building. And so one thing led to the next, but yeah, it was definitely a chronological, you know, order of events, and they've all kind of inspired other big things to come.
Nice. What were some of the notable challenges you had to overcome in your development, and what kind of learning experiences did that provide you with?
Basically cost on some areas on construction, and just mainly, you know, one thing that's unique about our venue is that, for one, you know, it's kind of a shame that there's never been a venue, something similar like this, created before. Because, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we're right every tour and route comes through here, going to New Orleans, Texas. I mean, there's only two routes you could take, up north, which there ain't really anything up there, and down south. So whenever we went through and did this, we wanted to get to an occupancy that it was actually a little bit more than what other venues are, you know. So what our venue does is we have 2,000 person cap. So that's normally about, you know, 1,000 person occupancy more than other venues. That makes ours a little bit more unique, you know. So within doing that, some of the obstacles that we had to overcome is some life safety things. We had to beef up a lot of life safety
ton
features.
Of safety stuff.
In the building to get to that occupancy.
Can't have people dying.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one of the biggest things, you know. I mean, we've got it all taken care of. Our contractor, he's been great. I mean, he's taken care of almost every little snag that we've came up with, you know,
With a 2,000 person occupancy, you just have to have so much fire code related stuff, and everything is looked at much more stringent, and it's important for us to be safe. We want to make sure that our patrons feel safe, and we want to make sure that our insurance costs stay low, and that at the end of the day we can sleep at night. And so it's all relevant to us. That was, you know, construction, just in terms of safety, was a huge issue. I mean, this is a learning curve for us, and from the get, I mean, the entire business, building processes, hiring. We just had a job fair down here. 250 people showed up, which was cool. But booking has been tough. You know, you can't just call, you know, an agency and book people. You might think that you can, even if you have money. It doesn't work like that. You have to have, you know, financial backing. You have to have a reputation. You have to have experience. You have to have relationships, and so it's been a learning curve getting to that point with, you know, Atlanta, New York, Nashville, Chicago, LA, and these, you know, huge talent agencies across the country. It's been meeting them, getting them comfortable with the area, with our concept, with our relationships. And a lot of it's been, you know, based on handshakes, and within this industry, you know, it's changed, I guess, generationally. You don't really go and shake hands anymore. Everybody is working off emails.
Digital.
And,
yeah.
Whereas we're Southern boys and we want to go introduce ourselves and let people know about our concept and what we're trying to accomplish and the community involvement. People don't really care about that. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, how's it going to benefit us? And how are our talent, you know, how will our talent look in your room? How will they be taken care of? What experience do you have in dealing with these guys? And so you can't just go and shake people's hands and look them in the eye anymore and, you know, get them comfortable with you that way. You got to have relationships to get in those doors. And so it's been huge for us. And we're, you know, we by no means know everybody, but we're definitely knocking down those doors.
So building off of that, what experiences have y'all had in your past of your own separate careers that have helped you prepare for what you've done for Crest Live?
I mean, in my past experience with my other businesses that I own, you know, I've kind of went into something that was nothing, did the construction, created it, you know, on a smaller scale. So, you know, the Mississippi Juke Joint, Zeppelins, we have live entertainment. You know, obviously it was on a much smaller scale than what we're about to do, but it opened up those, you know, what to do's and what not to do's, you know. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing with this is that with it being a new startup venue, you know, once we get these doors open, it's not really going to be an issue to book bands because people were going to have a presence. But, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to do this, you know what I mean? I mean, anybody can do that, and these guys get that all the time. So, you know, we got to line these shows up and then come out with a bang, and then our presence is going to be there, you know.
Exceed expectations on every level. Negotiation's been huge. I mean, I have a background in negotiation, but every single thing that's out there is negotiated. I mean, artists, writers, you know, relationships with hotels, sponsors, radios, advertisement, every single thing is negotiated. You can't just say, this is what I want, and let it be done. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. I love negotiation, but everything is a negotiation. You're like, give it to me. Just give it to me.
Yeah, but you don't want to pay sticker price either.
Or I'll kill you. And it just never happens the way that. Anyway, there's extra effort that goes into anything. But your relationship and respect comes from consolidating and, you know, finishing a deal, closing the deal, and then, you know, having a door that swings both ways.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the writers are pretty crazy. Like, we got one writer, you know, I ain't going to say who it is, but they wanted, like, 28 hotel rooms. Because they travel with, like...
George Clinton.
They travel with, like, 30 people, you know. They're like, we have 100 people we bring to the show, so...
No big deal.
But, yeah, so that has to go through, obviously.
Wow.
Might as well just rent out half the floors.
Yeah, I can see... I definitely see how negotiating with things like that can get really tedious, tiresome. But, I mean, again, that probably helps establish the connections, you know. The more time you spend with a person... in that exchange, you know, the greater the chance. If it goes well in the end,
you'd
of course.
You'd think that, you know. And, I mean, it's funny because we're dealing with a relationship right now where we've dealt with this in particular band a lot. And you know, we're having kind of an issue over hotel rooms right now. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. And they say something and you say something back and there's no like meeting in the middle anymore. It's like, it is what it is. I'm at my wit's end and you know, this is the way it's going to be. So, you know, we have to make certain concessions coming out as a new business and we understand that. And so we hope that it will, you know, that favor will return to us at some point. So, we're, you know, this kind of a dummy tax for us right now that we're going through, but, we hope to be able to put the right team around us, the right support, and so, you know, so we can mitigate that as much as possible in the future.
What would you say has been the most enjoyable part about putting this place together?
Probably traveling to go see other places.
Nothing
to figure
yet.
Out.
Nothing yet. The thought of it's been cool. But yeah. Getting into it is just so, it's just been crazy. I mean, we've had so much stuff to deal with. We haven't had a chance to really sit back and enjoy it, yeah. The fruits of the labor yet. It'll be night one when we sit back and everything comes on and the air conditioning's working and the lights are working and we see a couple smiles on some faces. I think that'll really set the key.
It's pretty exhausting, man. I mean, like, you don't get me wrong, I do physical labor with some of my other businesses and I put that on hold and then I find myself coming home at like 6:30. I'm just drained, man. I was ready to go to bed, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep moving forward. Yeah,
6:30,
7:30, whatever.
7:30. Shit. Yeah, it's been tough, but it's we know what our goals are, and we know what we're, you know, fighting for to, and the reasons that we're doing it, and you know, it's a lot about trusting new people coming onto the team and letting them take certain tasks and delegating them to be good in their own right, and then supporting them, and you know, and just letting them kind of run with it. And those things are gonna, the tasks that we're having to do personally will kind of go away, is not go away, but become, I guess, less relevant as we build a bigger team. But as those things kind of get delegated to other people, it's, you know, hopefully we'll have the time to breathe.
Yeah, I'd say that'd be challenging. That's a pretty challenging situation for us, is like, because both of us are, we're both like hands-on people. We like to do stuff ourselves, but we have to delegate tasks, you know?
Yeah, there's only so much one person can do. So just got to learn to trust, let go a little bit of power.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not as double the work for yourself, you know?
Yeah. It's tricky, though, because then you, like, if you put it into the hands of other people, then you got to hope that those people have the same ideas. You know, creativity is a very hard thing to replicate from one single individual who has a concept of something to somebody else, you know.
You gotta hope you don't have to go back to the old rule, like if you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself.
Right.
You gotta hope that ain't the case.
Right.
You know?
But for expansion to take place, you really do have to get to a point where, you know, you start giving people the keys to your house, or, you know, it's basically kind of how it is, you know. And it's like, well, you know, don't abuse this and don't take out the cookie jar and, yeah. you know, all this kind of stuff, you know.
The big difference for us is that expansion comes from day one. And, you know, we've got 120 shows that we've got to accommodate for. So there is absolutely no way that we do that on our own.
Right.
And so day one, after building this business concept for three and a half years, get it funded, you get it built, and then you got to start trusting other people that they have that same passion, that they have those same goals, whether they're, you know, moral, ethical principles or business goals. And then you just got to spend time with them and let them know what your goals are, because they probably do have the same goals. You just don't know that they're in alignment, or they might think of them in a different form or fashion. And so once you do spend some time with them, you're really realize that this is the same type mindset, but you just haven't heard it from their perspective. And so, you know, the passion that we portray, that's why we try to spend as much time with people as we can, because once they sit and just, you know, listen to what we've been through professionally and what we've been through, you know, regionally in the development of this business, they realize, wow, that's how it really looks, you know, from a macro level. And then we're able to kind of transition a lot of that passion to some of these guys. And, you know, when we do that, it's fun to see, because they get, you know, all perky and excited, and then they go make moves and, you know, and help us with our own excitement and spreading that, you know, that love. So that's been cool to see, and seeing all these people's excitement about what we've been doing, you know, with 250 people show up at this job fair. That was probably the most exciting time for me, was just seeing all these people show up. And I don't know if it's a lack of jobs down here, or if it's excitement about both, or actually both of those together. But that was cool seeing all those people. I mean, we had 20 or 30 people show up before it even opened, and 9 to 5, it was just constant people influx of folks just wondering about how they could get in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. You got to leave at 6?
No. We had 6 people show up for our job
there.
Oh.
Awesome. Oh.
Yeah, well, I told him, I was like, because we were kind of getting tents and stuff for the thing. I was like, man, ain't nobody gonna come out there at 9. Shit, it was like 8:30. People were like, is this where the job fair is? I was like, man, where did you just get off work somewhere else? What? Yeah, you know?
After we had 6, so y'all should be proud of that 250. and to be honest, 2 of them were looking for y'all's joint, bro. So. But we hired the other 4, so come on down and see us at Rejuvenation Station if you're looking for a job.
So what can y'all tell us about the grand opening on July 4th?
It's gonna be funky. We got a bunch of stuff planned. From July 4th, July 4th is actually Independence Day itself, and so we're going to do a kind of a late opening as the fireworks start in Biloxi. We're going to open our doors about 8 o'clock, and when we open our doors, we'll have a party bus running from the venue to the actual beach. So if you want to be watching the fireworks, and then after the fireworks are done, jump on the Crestlop bus and take the bus to the venue. That'll be available. You'll see it. It'll have signs on the side of it saying Crest Live Grand Opening.
Bullhorns on the front.
Yeah, we're working on the bullhorns right now. But then PM Dawn starts his set probably 9, 10 o'clock. And we've got Hyphy playing, and then et cetera, who we're really excited about. And the cool thing is we actually have an electric fireworks show. So,
I don't even know what that is.
So I told you about how excited we were about our light show. We've had some of the DJs sample so the sound of fireworks. And so every time they hit that sample, whether it's on a breakdown or a build up, whatever, we'll have a sequence of lights going off on the building, inside the building, actually looking like fireworks are shooting off inside the space. So it's gonna be electric. Wow. For sure. It's gonna be
that
dope.
That's pretty cool.
And that's Friday, and that's gonna go all night. And then we're gonna have after party at Zeppelin's featuring DJ Otto. By the way, that's news to Nick. And that's gonna go all night long. And then Saturday, We open the doors at 2. Colonel Bruce and Serious Face with Brooks Hubbard will be playing. Rumpelstiltskin will be up after them. Rebirth Brass Band, Dumpsta Funk, David Gray from The Revivalist, the lead singer of The Revivalist. David Shaw, the lead singer from The Revivalist, will be, he's our artist at large, so it's cool. He'll be actually playing with all the bands, and he'll be filling in and kind of doing an artist at large role, which will be dope. And then we have Coolio, and then we'll have a DJ afterwards. So, and then the after party after that is at Mississippi Juke Joint featuring DJ Quickie Mart, who just signed on today. So that'll go all night long, and
I'm sure PM Dawn will probably be over there too.
Yeah, we'll
he's a local resident down here now, so that's pretty.
We got the homies will be in town, and I'm sure there's gonna be some more funk that we'll be able to make public. We actually just lined the after parties up today, so you know, the Dumpsta Funk guys and David Gray. Who knows, you know, where those guys will end up. David Shaw, David Gray is my best friend, and so I always get that name messed up, but it's a problem. But those guys will probably be hanging out, and so come link up with us and enjoy the grand opening and get a chance to make history on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and see what we've been working so hard for over the past 3 or 4 years.
And then I think also too, they have we're working with Nola Brewery, and they're doing a revealing of a new beer.
Unveiling.
Of a new beer that they have, and it's called the Rebirth Beer.
Uh-huh.
And it's for the Rebirth Brass Band. Is it? No. Is it the right one?
Yeah, it's the name of it. Frenchie did the art on it. And
so they have a new beer, and then we have Rebirth that night. So it's gonna be cool.
We're gonna unveil hopefully the can. We don't know if the can's gonna be ready yet, but we'll definitely have the Rebirth Brass Band beer on tap from Nola Brewery.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing Sunday?
Sunday we're gonna have the Rejuvenation Station will be. We're actually going to privately rent it out for all the guys that are dehydrated and need a little rejuvenation, B12 and
oxygen
and brownies and IVs and stuff like that. That we'll be doing that Saturday right before we go jump on the boat and have a soiree on the beach. So all weekend long, we're going to have funky stuff. And then we're actually doing a little VIP shindig the third too, so a ton of different stuff going on throughout the weekend of July 4th, and we hope that it's exciting enough for people to get their butts off their couches and buy some tickets.
Did I see something recently about the Toadies?
We have the Toadies booked for August 12th, and it's gonna be
the
20th.
You wanna
go see the Toadies?
Toadies.
It's gonna be their 20th reunion.
August 15th.
Yeah.
August 15th with Black Pistol Fire. They're going to do the 20th reunion. They're going to do the entire Rubberneck album, which will be incredible.
Very cool.
I come from the water. I crawled up on the shore. So I got
Possum Kingdom.
Yeah.
Love some Possum Kingdom. Zoso.
Yep.
Did I see something for that? Okay. Yeah, Zoso, I've never seen them before, but I've also never seen Led Zeppelin. So I think they'd be probably the next best thing, right? So.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's always fun. You know.
When are they? Are they August?
Another July.
July? Okay.
Yeah, July 24th.
Okay. That's another one. I'm gonna keep looking.
Yeah, we've actually got 5 Grammy Award winners on the roster now. We've got 2 nominees. We've got 7 multi-platinum artists. So we are bringing them to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and downtown Biloxi. So it's exciting just seeing our first little grouping of, you know, book talent be such qualified and capable artists. I mean, I think people are really starting to understand, you know, our vision, because we're putting the guys on the roster, and it's been exciting for us. It's been tough, challenging, but finally actually bringing these guys down here and understanding they're gonna be in the crest is cool to see.
We have a lot of guys that we've reached out to that aren't touring this year that we're gonna be adding to the roster next year. That's going to be pretty heavy hitters. So
guys in the studio right now, big boys that you'll love to hear. Can't wait to tell you about that in the future. But then, too, we're going to be doing theater. We're going to be doing some burlesque shows. We'll be doing comedy. We'll be doing dueling pianos, yeah, which we just lined that show up. So we'd love to have you guys out for some comedy, too.
Right on.
And we're going to host like a premiere party like one time a month. So it's not a nightclub by any means, but it'll be one night where we host a party from Kreslov that it's going to be a very elite party that everybody's going to want to go to. Exclusive. Because it's only one.
We hope everybody will want to come.
That's it.
Yeah, but definitely comedy. So when y'all are ready to come do some funky stuff, let's get it popping.
Right on. Yeah, we've been, for people who don't know, we've been doing an open mic, mostly you, Daniel, and Ryan Van Sky before he took off for Denver, Colorado to do it full time. And it's hard to figure out what exactly he is doing out there.
He doesn't answer his phone.
He doesn't answer his phone when he's here. But we're pretty excited for him, and it's been going pretty good at the Juke Joint. And Daniel, you just started up this week at Gulf Coast Irish Coast Pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Derek Copswa, who comes to the one at Juke Joint, just talked to the owners over there. So we do one in Gulf Fort, one in Ocean Springs. Cool. So definitely, if you want to get up, come out to either of those places Monday or Thursday.
You had a good turnout?
Yeah, about 30 people. So, and it's getting bigger and bigger. More people are performing every week and getting up. You know, there's a lot of, like, as many people that live around here, a lot of funny people, and it's just good to have those outlets for them to try and practice. Because beforehand, people were going to Hattiesburg, New Orleans, Mobile. Yeah. So, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't have, like, a good comedy scene here with as many talented people that live here. So.
Well, and you're right, too, and it's tough just breaking off into a bar and having people who aren't ready for comedy see comedy and understand that, yeah, this is really funny, although, you know, I'm not laughing at it. You know, it's just kind of a challenging environment to do, and so we want to kind of be a portion of that the comedic breakthrough down here, because we are going to be bringing some big names to the coast.
Yeah.
If we can get some local talent to back them up, that'd be huge. That'd be
definitely
great for us.
I mean, I know plenty of people around here that would love to have a stage and a mic and open up for any comedian. Yeah. So.
And I mean, it's definitely moving in the right direction. Cause like you said, you know, the comedy scene there was no scene here before.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to overcome that challenge is you know, like,
it's tough.
Tough in itself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I love to see anything in an artistic form, whether it's music, art, comedy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we had a guy from a crew from Birmingham come down to the Juke Joint. A
couple, maybe three months ago.
Yeah.
I was there. Yeah. He brought some people, so
they were good too.
Yeah, pretty funny. So
that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So we were talking earlier about you mentioned the baseball field coming about. How, I mean, I'm not a huge baseball fan, so I haven't really paid all that much attention to it, but I know it's close by. How do y'all feel about its proximity and its location, and just, you know, the league coming in general?
I mean, the baseball field is going to be good for Biloxi. I mean, it's going to bring a lot of people from an hour drive time. You know, you have your casinos, and there's a lot of things to do within the casinos, but outside of that, the Gulf Coast is you know,
one
lacking on a lot of entertainment, you know. So the baseball field is going to be great. It's in walking distance to our venue. I believe it's going to kind of interject that blood flow in downtown, you know, on top of what we're doing, you know. So that's going to be great. I think the biggest thing with all that is just having extra parking spaces for everybody, because they took up a parking lot to build a ball field, and they built a parking garage that's not very big. So one thing great about our venue is we have a huge public parking spot just north of our building, and then we have additional parking for the train, the Coast Train Authority. What's it called?
So
The
cool thing about the ball field is it's so close to those casinos. I don't think people really realize what an asset that is. Yeah, folks coming for the casinos, and then tying that in with the ball field and the fact that it's called MGM, you know, Park, is going to be pretty heavy. we'd like to see some incredible, you know, live music being performed there. Hope that we can be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a portion of the year that won't be dedicated towards baseball, and we'd like to have some, you know, some really big A-list acts come down here that would be perfect for this market.
Yeah.
So we'll hope to see that through as much as we can help with. But it's just a big part of the entire draw, you know, turning this area back around as a destination and, you know, as an international destination. And I think the desires here, I think that, you know, it's geographically placed in such an area that people still want to come. And I think adding stuff like baseball fields is just going to help.
Yeah. And I mean, just even, you know, when they're not having baseball for like summer camps and things for kids, it's going to open up opportunity for, I think that's going to be huge, you know. So, the only thing we've had for a while is the hockey team. So I think the coast needs that, you know, so. It'd be great to get a football team eventually, but I don't know where the hell we put a field.
Yeah.
So
the hockey teams probably took a hit too, because that the skate park they're converting into a sound studio or something like that off of DeBees Road.
Yep.
So, but that sounds pretty cool too. So hopefully they'll do some film stuff. They did a new Indiana Jones film that they filmed somewhere.
It was Raiders of the Lost Ark. I was talking to somebody about that the other day.
It's a reboot or something. Yeah.
Well, there was a part. They never got the film on the original, so they filmed it in Van Cleef, and they blew up some stuff up there. Mm-hmm. And
I know the person whose yard they used.
Yeah. So Guy, one of our friends from L.A., who's in film and stuff. He's originally from here. I seen him, and he's like, I was talking to him about it, and he's like, they didn't get to film a part, so he's going back to make that part in the old movie. So I mean, it's pretty neat, you know. So, there's a lot of movies being done around here, you know. I think once they pass that bill with the grants and whatnot, you got a lot of film guys from New Orleans area and things like that over this way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reality shows going on right now, you know. I was on the beach and they're filming that show Party Down South down here, so there's definitely more filming coming east, you know, so that's exciting as well.
Louisiana is now the top film state in the country.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's surpassed Cali, and New York is like number 6, but Louisiana, pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I forget about it, but New Orleans and I guess the whole Louisiana in general, I mean, they have a lot of the highest happiness rates in some cases, and fluctuating economic scales, you know. You've got people of all class levels intermingling, and the level of culture there, you know, is just unheard of, you know. People don't, you know, I forget about it, and we're neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, film there more than anywhere else, and Mississippi's a great place for it too, you know.
Yeah, New Orleans is definitely a place where everybody gets. There's a lot of different bricks, and then there's a lot of alcohol, which is the mortar that holds it all everything together over there.
That's
true. So.
That's true.
You go world's way. You go world's way and not see what you see in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely people that's never been over there have to make a trip just to experience once. You know what I mean?
But that's
Bourbon Street itself can cause culture shock.
Correct.
Just that one street.
Don't go to Bourbon Street. But I mean, I still feel, and I think we talked about this the first time. I feel like this area, and I always will feel like this. This is the Gothic Coast. I mean, we're a combination of Mississippi and the rest of the South and New Orleans, and I mean, we have those roots, and it's interesting to see how it kind of morphs from New Orleans to kind of Bay St. Louis, and then as you go down to the through the coast, and then to the Mobile area, how that French culture trickles through, and we have, you know, a lot of the same characteristics in terms of tradition that, you know, New Orleans does.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, it's cool because it's got that feel from New Orleans, and it's also got the feel from Florida with, you know, the beaches and the islands and stuff that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some of the best seafood. So
yeah. I want to put a hypothetical situation past you. Okay. Y'all are sitting in Crest Live, right? Just a couple weeks after it's opened. It's late at night. No one's in the bar. It's just you two. You're hanging out, having some drinks. The lights are low. All of a sudden, you hear a noise, and you look, and an old man in a white suit is coming at you, okay? And here's Walking Stick on the wooden ground. He looks at you through his monocle, and he says, "Fellas, I've been watching you. I like what you're doing. You give me a drink of your finest whiskey there, I'll get you three bands, any three bands you want, dead or alive. I'm going to test your teamwork skill right now as partners. Who do you pick for your three people?"
I already know one that we'll both pick. That's team. Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And the Wailers. That's one.
The Wailers are still around.
Yeah,
so,
but you know, Bob Marley is only here in spirit.
You're right.
That would be one for
sure.
Because I know that he would agree with that.
Yeah. I think Led Zeppelin would definitely probably be another one.
That would be
getting past that one up.
Two. But we gotta strategically plan this third one, because
someone modern, maybe someone still alive.
Elvis.
Everyone in the back's calling for Elvis.
Only if he has that swank ass suit.
It's gotta be Elvis and Johnny Cash.
Yeah, Johnny Cash would be pretty sweet.
Johnny Cash and Robert Johnson do the blues, but I think if we want to stay modern, let's talk about somebody that we could actually get today.
Yeah.
Who would yours be?
Who are the biggest?
Queens of Stone Age.
Yeah.
Probably,
okay. Right on, yeah. Dude. I've been jamming songs for the deaf.
Yep.
Recently, working out to those.
Yeah. Rated R.
They're self-titled, everything.
You know, it's kind of
solid.
It's kind of funny because, like, how this whole thing kind of spawned is because me and him used to go see shows all the time, and we'd always have to go all over the place to go see shows. And we're like, man, you know, why don't we do this? You know, so that's how it sparked, you know, and here we are. 14 days till. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's true.
You know, you could probably pull a lot of the acts like the Black Keys and Jack White, mm-hmm. A lot of people have started situating themselves in Nashville to kind of get away from the LA scenes or the, you know, just the more hectic spots where there's still a rich culture and it's very productive musically and creatively.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are taking up, you know, residence there. And I think in both cases, I think Dan Auerbach and Jack White both have their own studios.
Mm-hmm.
Jack White with Third Man Records, and they pull like C6 Steve and John Paul Jones from Zeppelin. And, you know, you got the Dead Weather, the Rocketeers. I mean, all the, you know, associated acts and all those kinds of things.
I mean, you got Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros just purchased.
Jack White just played in New Orleans at a small venue.
Yeah. He did,
Tipitina's?
I had no idea.
No.
What was it?
It was wasn't Tips. It was House of Blues.
No, I don't think it was
Sanger.
The House of Blues.
Sanger.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think it was the Sanger.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Deftones would definitely be up there.
Yeah, for sure.
Those guys. You know, there's a couple different challenges in dealing with those guys and dealing with like the festival circuit. Is the festivals can pay those guys anything, and the challenge is to get them off of the outside of the festival season, and then, you know, get them while they're still touring. And mm-hmm. so most of them just stop touring after festival season because they don't need to play clubs, and we're, you know, kind of considered club because of our occupancy. So, you know, getting them after that festival season and while they're still on tour, you know, because if they're not on tour and you have to one-off them and fly their entire production, and it's just crazy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're sitting at home, and at that point, it's like a supply and demand thing. Do they need to go do it? And we're like, you know, come down here, and at that point, it's, you know, kind of an opportunity cost thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, get me off my couch, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got to deal with stuff like recording and all these other, you know, priorities that these guys have. So it's been interesting, but I mean, I think we've tapped into a bunch of those relationships that are going to come pay off after time.
Well, I mean, one of our goals too with this whole venue, you know, we've been working on it for a long time, is to create this venue that's got so much to it. You know, we're giving back to the community through arts and music, and we're going to have this museum. So we're trying to create a place. And I go to festivals. I love festivals. They're great, you know, but usually some of the best shows I've ever seen is like, you know, something that holds from 1,000 to, you know, 2,000
intimacy.
Cap, because it's just, you know, it's just a better show. And we want to create this place so these musicians want to come play. So they don't necessarily have to, but we want to create a place to where they're like, man, I need to go down and play the Crest Live, you know. So that's one of our goals with this whole creation of the venue. So
And we'll have updates in the future when y'all are, you know, closer to the opening of to let people actually see the pictures of the inside and all these kind of stuff. Like I said, we just took a tour, and y'all's setup is very interesting because you have three levels. You've got your ground level right next to the stage, and then you've got a VIP, and then another like what, a grand VIP or whatever. And both of those levels overlook the stage, and even the top level kind of wraps around a little bit, right?
And the great thing with that is that, you know, it gives us a lot of flexibility of how we can do different events with our venue. You know, we're able to cater to corporate guys that maybe have the third floor while we do, you know, 1,200-1,300 person sold out show on the bottom, you know. And so we have, you know, we know that we're going to have things in there. You know, one of our goals is to have artists that might not be everybody knows about, but it's going to be an excellent show, new upcoming artists that, you know, hey, there might only be 500 people go to a one-off show, but the way the building lays out is that it's not huge. So 500 people come, it's still got that vibe and that feel like it's packed, you know, the way that it lays out. So that's definitely a good thing for us, you know, so.
Well, hopefully you guys pull all the good artists that, you know, we're dreaming about here right now.
For sure.
To close up the hypothetical situation, if the old man wanted your souls, would negotiations?
This is not Robert Johnson. This is not a conversation with Robert Johnson. We can't sell our souls, man. All we got to stay true to who we are, and that's what it's all about.
I just wanted to test your priorities. That's all.
I'd probably whistle and have Jack Daniels come out in a black suit with his cane and whip the...
No. You've already sold your soul then.
Number seven, yeah.
Yeah. You may be the devil. Hey.
Chase is like, we'll give you Nick's soul. Yeah. Give us three of the bands, we'll give you Nick's soul.
You got no soul to sell. Just
I'm like,
kidding.
I'm like a cat. I'm already losing lives over here. You
know? We're lucky this dude's still around.
I know,
kicking
man.
It.
Been a journey, man. It's been a journey. So.
A journeyman.
Would you consider Crest Live as a well-prepared place, as a safe haven in the event of a zombie apocalypse?
Fuck yeah.
I got a bunch of guns at the house, man.
Biggest guns. Yeah, and we do have, as you may or may not heard, the banker that was here earlier was asking us about our secret corridor system underneath.
Yeah, what's that
in
about?
In the basement. We can't really
can't
tell
really
you
tell,
too
but
much
it's there.
About,
it's
well, there's... We got a bunch of secrets, you know, and if we revealed too much of that hand,
I think
the zombie apocalypse might even start.
I think
we'll
be all right, though, because, you know, Mark and his rejuvenation station, he's kind of like preventing zombies.
Well, that's
what will
happen as zombies enter the Vieux Marché. They come in, get a B12 shot, get revitalized, boom, zombies, no more.
Dang, we're sitting here talking about selling our souls, and there's secrets that Crest Live building doesn't have. There's some weird energy going on with this place. There's more to than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah.
People need to come check this out for themselves.
We ain't playing.
Yeah.
I'm telling y'all the truth. It's about to go down. So
only a couple days away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody keep up with the website, you know.
Yeah, tell people where they can go. And
www.crestlive, and that's K-R-E-S-S live.com. So
check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Straight Flexing. Sorry. It's that song. Yes, we're available at your fingertips, with your fingertips.
So get at them. Go check it out. Chase, Nick, thanks again, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
Fantastic time.
Always
once again. We're going to be keeping up, and we'll check out. Stay with you when the grand opening comes down to the wire.
Yeah.
Can't wait to do the podcast when we're all said and done and we got AC inside the venue and can do it in there. And
right on.
Pop
right
it off.
On. So everybody keep on in touch with the website and come out and see our show.
Crestlive.com.
Website's mobile optimized.
Mobile optimized.
Tickets right with that device.
Yep. Buy tickets right then and there. We have GA tickets available, balcony tickets available, and Relic Room super VIP experience available. Check it out, crestlive.com.
All right, fellas. Thanks again.
Appreciate it.
CoastalNoise.com signing off. Thank you.
Sweet, man.
Excellent. Once again. Yeah. Once again.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, man.